This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, the big football news of the weekend was that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been sacked by Manchester United. The news broke yesterday morning, less than 24 hours after a humiliating defeat, 4-1 defeat at Watford. I saw the match. It could have been 8-1, to be honest, if Watford had taken their chances, including a penalty that they missed. Solskjaer has been a great player for Manchester United. He scored a winning goal in the Champions League in 1999 when they beat Bayern Munich, having been one goal down in the 90th minute. But they came back from the dead, and he was a great goal poacher. He's been a dignified character, in my opinion. He's taken all the vicissitudes of recent months, and he's managed it as best he could. But he clearly wasn't able to do the job. And I'm joined now by John Giles and Liam Brady to discuss Solskjaer and indeed to discuss the rest of the weekend's fixtures, including Liverpool win against Arsenal and Antonio Conte's first win with Spurs against Leeds. John, let me ask you, you're a former Manchester United player, although you chuckled when I mentioned that to you yesterday. I don't think you bleed red. But anyway, you were there
over 50 years ago.
Well, but you know the culture of the place, you know the sort of history of it. You need the two successful Manchester United managers, John, were big beasts, Matt Busby and Alex Ferguson. The job has proved beyond anyone else, and an awful lot of people have had a go at it, as you know, including Mourinho and Van Gaal in recent times. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a decent man. He behaved himself with dignity over the last while. The job is just too big for him.
I think so, Eamon. I mean, when you go back to the Busby situation and the Ferguson situation, when Ferguson took over the club as manager, as we know, which was a while after Busby, there was no talk of the Busby way.
Yeah.
You know, Ferguson did it the Ferguson way.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when Solskjaer went into the job, they were back to the Ferguson way.
Yeah.
You know, that's a time gone by. You know, when managers have their time, they have their time. And you can't repeat what they did because all the personalities are different.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at Mourinho in relation to Ferguson or anybody else, they're all different.
Yes.
So I think that they were hell bent on you know, the Ferguson way when Solskjaer coming in instead of going his own way. But I don't think, I mean, he was ever really in charge of the situation from day one.
That's right. I mean, the Glazers run the football club, and it's more a commercial outfit, really, in terms of selling shirts and memorabilia, all kinds of stuff. It's almost as much about that as it is about winning.
Well, yeah, but you can do both, Eamon, if you allow the manager to get on with the job. See, I don't think Solskjaer was ever in charge of the situation of the comings and goings of the players, Eamon.
Yeah.
And if you're not in charge of that, in my experience anyway, my short experience in management, having the right to control the incomings and outcomings of players in the club is 90% of the job, Eamon.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that go out on the pitch. Every manager has a vision, or if you call it a vision, of what they want on the field. And the only way to fulfill that vision is to get the players out that you don't want and get the players in that you do want. Now, Solskjaer, in my opinion, was never in that situation.
No. Liam, at Arsenal, you watched very closely because you were head of the youth development there at the time. How Arsene Wenger, you know, a big beast, a man with a vision, you watched how he transformed Arsenal, and I suppose he transformed English football, really. But he was a man with a vision, wasn't he? And when you're taking over a club as big as Manchester United, as big as Arsenal, you do need to have that kind of personality.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you have to have that self-determination that all the great managers have brought to their clubs.
Yes.
You know, latterly, you'd look at Guardiola and his vision, both at Barcelona, yes. then at Manchester City, and in between Bayern Munich. And also Klopp, when he came to Liverpool after his work he did at Dortmund. But these guys had a pedigree going into the job, Eamon.
Yes.
Maybe not so much Arsene Wenger. He had done it quietly in France. I think he won the title with Monaco, which was a very difficult thing to do. But
yeah.
He didn't have the pedigree of Guardiola or Klopp when they came to England. But Solskjaer never really had that pedigree. And I think, Eamon, we've got to remember that when they brought him in, he was a bit like caretaker manager.
Yes.
But he did win 14 of 19 games.
Yes.
In the second half of that season. And they felt compelled to give him the job. But I would agree with John. They gave him the job, but they didn't really let him get on with it. But I don't think he had that character that has that vision, the strength of mind and the strength of personality to see it through. He was a figurehead, and I think he was put in there by the old Manchester United way, as John touched upon. I think Ferguson had a lot to do with it,
yeah,
and a lot to do with the renewal of his contract as well, to give him the time to build things up at Manchester United. But then, you know, we never knew who was in charge of bringing the players in. He never really had a team that knew what they were doing, that looked like what they were doing.
Yeah.
They had a lot of top players. And of course, when you have top players, you will win a lot of games.
Yes.
He's a hell of a nice man. You can tell that. But I don't think he was up to the job of turning Old Trafford round after the Ferguson years.
No, I just want to establish a principle here, John, about when you go to a club like Manchester United, or indeed Arsenal, and what you have to do. You know that because Don Revie went to Leeds United. Now, it's probably easier to do it at Leeds because they never had been a really big club. But Revie had a vision and a strength of character to make big changes, and you need that. And I'm thinking now in terms of whoever gets this Manchester United job, and what they need in the first instance, and I would suggest they need to be strong, they need to have their own ideas, and as you said before, they need to be able to implement them.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, of course, Eamon. If you're taking the job, when the top managers go in, they're probably in a position now to dictate the conditions that they want to run the club. I mean, in other words, be in charge of...
Early on, in particular, when you go there, when they really want you, that's the time,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, that's the time to do it. And if you look at Spurs as a perfect example, I mean, Levy has tried everything by giving the manager what they want to do.
Yeah.
Until it got to the stage where it got so bad and he made such a mess that they've got Conte in and he won't stand for anything else but doing the job under the conditions that he wants to do it.
Yeah.
So there's not many managers get into that position, Eamon. You know, in Don Revie's case, Don Revie took over when Leeds were a mess. They were in the second division, struggling in the second division. And he was able to do, because they were in such a bad position, to do what needed to be done, which was a big job. But he was allowed to do it. Like when Wenger came in, I think he was allowed to get the players in that he wanted. In fact, when the new group took over at Arsenal, or maybe they were still there when Wenger was a manager, one of the things he said, there's no manager in this club, Arsenal again, that will have the power that Wenger had.
Yeah.
And look what they brought to the club then, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, funny enough, with directors, owners, and I think particularly Manchester United in situation, Solskjaer was never in a position, Eamon, coming from the position that he was in Norway, to make the demands that needed to be made to make a success of it.
Yeah.
He was always a boy going to the club.
Yes.
You know, delighted to get the job, Manchester United way. But he was never, ever, I don't think, in control of the comings and goings. Look at the Pogba situation, fairy situations there. I mean, he was never really, really in charge of that. And that's why Conte and Pochettino, I would imagine, demand these things. But the people who are in charge there, whether they be the money people or not, don't like anybody like that coming in.
No.
They like to have Solskjaer. They can dominate them and tell them what they want to do. And that's usually in a commercial sense. But running the club like that, ultimately, Eamon, doesn't work. And what's happened at Manchester United was bound to happen in the long run.
Yeah, and I think, Liam, Manchester United fans will be thinking, who's coming in and what qualities do they need to have? Michael Carrick has taken over now on an interim basis. This is unbelievable, but it's true. Then they're then going to appoint an interim manager. So, but anyway, that's their mess. When Wenger took over at Arsenal, Liam, Tony Adams and those guys were already there, weren't they? And he did come in and make dramatic changes that affected the English game into a big club too, who with Bertie Mee and Don Howe had known success.
Yeah, but, you know, they had great success under George Graham. I mean,
yes. Yeah.
I think they won six trophies.
Right.
And then they had Bruce Rioch for a while. George Graham left in those circumstances we all know about. Then Bruce
yes.
Rioch came in for a year. I don't think the players were happy with Bruce Rioch. The board felt they needed to make a change. And David Dean, who was a member of the board, came up with this, the name of Arsene Wenger. Nobody knew him really, but he did have a vision. Dean knew him. He'd got to know him over the course of a year. And he felt that he was the right man for the job. And he came in and he transferred the club and the way the team played. He also, what he did, he also gave about nine of the stalwart Arsenal players, brand new contracts on huge increases.
Right.
And, you know, when a manager says that, you're on his side straight away, aren't you? When he looks after you that way.
Even if he stops you having a beer on the bus.
Wenger was very intelligent the way he went about things. He had a way of playing. He changed completely the way George Graham had played football. He played out from the back. The players bought into it. And he had a fine team there, Eamon. They were top-class players like Adams, Bold, Keown, Dixon, Winterburn, Seaman,
yes.
Parler, Bergkamp. And he just added the way he wanted to go with the likes of Vieira, Petit, Overmars, and then later on Thierry Henry and Robert Pires and things like that. So he did an unbelievable job, but the foundation was there. I think when Solskjaer went into the job at Manchester United, there was no foundation. Mourinho had left the mess.
Yes.
And he had to tidy up the mess. And he did it well for a while.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of goodwill on his side.
Yes.
Now, where they're going to go from here, I don't know.
No.
Now, Pochettino's, he's benching, but he's in situ at Paris Saint-Germain. If he has a good season this year, he might want to stay. They might want him to stay.
He's not happy there, Liam.
You know where Manchester are going to turn to find
yes.
the guy with that kind of vision. They're not. They don't grow on trees, Eamon.
No, they don't. And, John, I put this to both of you. There's a question, John, isn't there, about whether the Glazer family, who own Manchester United and who see it as a money-making machine, which it is, will they tolerate somebody with the character, determination of an Alex Ferguson or an Arsene Wenger or indeed Antonio Conte, who hasn't quite achieved what the other two have achieved, but he gives all the signs. And he said 3 weeks ago, or let it be known, that yes, he was willing to take the job, but he would have to decide who came and who stayed on the playing side. And at that point, they lost interest in him.
Well, I think what will happen, Eamon, is what happened at Spurs. I think they will try to continue to do what they're doing, to be in charge of the situation. And they'll be in charge of the financial situation, as you alluded to
yeah.
there a while ago. But it doesn't lead to success because they'll always have a weak manager, Eamon.
Yeah.
If they don't do it, given the conditions, they'll always have a weak manager. And if you have a weak manager, it's very, 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 very seldom successful. And then they'll have a try, another one, like Levy did at Spurs. And it gets to the stage where they say, well, even they will find out this is not working.
Yes, yeah.
But and we don't know how many managers that's going to take to get to that situation. I mean, if they've any sense now, I mean, you say Conte was available for a while. Pochettino was available for a while. But they didn't want those guys. They didn't, they were too strong for them. So they put Solskjaer in the situation.
Yeah.
Nice lad, good lad, will do as he's told, did as he was told. And it was okay for a while, Eamon. But ultimately, it doesn't work out if the manager is not in charge of the situation of the comings and goings of players. It just doesn't work. Because if that worked, there'd be no such thing as good managers, Eamon. So I think they might try it again. They might try it another couple of times and it still won't work. And then they'll get to a situation, if they haven't learned the lesson now, to say, we've got to get somebody in here who's a strong manager, really top-class manager, to make it successful on the pitch.
Liam, you were in Italy for 2 years, well, for more than 2 years, 7 years, I think, but you won two Serie A titles with Juventus, and I think Trapattoni was your manager there. In Italy at that time, and even now, is it the head coach who makes the big decisions, or is it somebody else? Because even at Liverpool, there's a guy called Edwards who's leaving now, who they say bought Salah and makes big decisions about who they bring in. It's not really custom and practice throughout Europe, is it?
No, that's right, Eamon. But, you know, they get very capable people as sporting directors who have a relationship with, like Trapattoni would have had a sporting director at Juventus at the time. The president of Juventus at the time was Bonaperti, who was a famous ex-player for Juventus.
So right.
He knew football. They had a good relationship. I'm sure they talked about things. But, you know, they also have very wealthy owners in Italy, and they sometimes want to have a choice, want to make a call, a bit like Abramovich has done down through the years at Chelsea. So the formula is different on the continent. It's different in Real Madrid. It's different at Barcelona. And, you know, it's a formula that they're used to. John's way of talking is the way that we know best here in England, that the manager is in charge of everything. But I think those days are changing with the money that's come into football, Eamon. It's certainly not the case at Arsenal. It certainly hasn't been the case at Spurs with Daniel Levy in charge.
Or Chelsea.
Or Chelsea. But Chelsea kind of are the exception to the rule that John's referring to. Chelsea seem to manage to win things, even though they chop and change their manager every couple of years, don't they? The list of trophies that Chelsea have won with probably double-figure managers is endless.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, I just wanted to ask both of you one last question. John, Pochettino has a good image, and yet he's only won one trophy in his career, and that was the French Cup Winners' Cup, or the Champions, and what is it, the Champions Shield, or this, whatever it is, Cup Winners versus League Winners. He's not been a winner, but he has impressed, hasn't he?
Well, Eamon, what he did at Spurs was a remarkable job.
Right.
You know, he had nothing to spend. This Levy wouldn't give him anything, and players weren't allowed money. I mean, what he did there was, he was in the Champions League for four seasons on the trot.
Yeah, and he got to the final as well.
You know, and that was a really, really good job. The players were paid very low money, wasn't allowed to buy players in. All the things were against him. That's the way Levy was running the show.
Right.
And then Levy sacks him because he never won anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting to in the top four every year to get into the Champions League was and getting to the Champions League final was a remarkable job with what he had at his disposal.
Yeah.
And very, very badly treated then, Eamon. So I think he did earn his stripes at Spurs, but what he did under the circumstances that he was in.
Liam, Pochettino apparently not happy. I mean, I can understand why. He's got Neymar, he's got Messi and Mbappe, and I think Neymar in particular is a difficult player to manage. They're 12 points clear in the French League One, but the pressure to win the Champions League, he's family are still in London, and the word is that he would be amenable to an approach from Manchester United. Would he, in your view, be the best option?
Probably that's out there, Eamon. I'd say he would, now that Conte has taken up the position at Spurs.
And Brendan Rodgers is the other person.
Brendan Rodgers has been mentioned. He's done a really good job, you know, everywhere he's been. But has he got the pedigree that can go into Manchester United and turn things around? There's an awful lot of big personalities in that dressing room, and an awful lot of messy personalities as well.
Yes,
you know, you saw it over the weekend. Fernandez, he's had a nightmare for a couple of months. You know,
yes, yeah.
And he's standing in front of the Manchester United crowd and saying, "Don't blame him, blame us." You know, but he didn't do very much for him. And De Gea coming out and saying what he said.
Yep.
Like, he hasn't been perfect. He wasn't even perfect against Watford, although he did save two penalty kicks.
Yep.
But, I don't know. I'd be scratching my head, Eamon, who you could get. I think Pochettino, and probably followed by Rodgers. I don't think Zidane would be too interested.
No,
I doubt very much if he can speak English at all. So I don't know. That might be doing him a service, but you know, he's got a track record as well. He's also got a track record of doing it where he's probably not been the man solely in charge at Real Madrid. He's probably had to you know, go along with what the president wants from time to time. But the team is a mess at Manchester United, isn't it? You know, they have no way of playing. They're all individuals, and nobody seems to be playing with any confidence, any form. It's difficult to see that they're going to bounce back and get into that top four place, I mean, because that's the one that's up for grabs in the Premier League at the moment.
And they're a long way behind. I mean, they're eighth in the table, and they're about 7 or 8 points behind West Ham at the moment. But it's a big job, as you say, with the players they've got. Just a final thought, John and Liam. When Matt Busby retired, Manchester United went into a death spiral almost. They tried Wilf McGuinness, who was, with all due respects to both men, a bit like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He was someone who'd been at the club all his life. He was a legend in his own way, certainly in his own head. John, we knew Wilf. They tried Frank O'Farrell. They tried Dave Sexton. They tried Tommy Docherty. And nothing worked. They were relegated, John.
Eventually, yeah.
And then they chanced on Ferguson, who'd done a great job. He transformed Scottish football. He'd broken the duopoly between Rangers and Celtic with his Aberdeen team, They'd won the Cup Winners' Cup, beating Real Madrid in the final. So he'd done a fantastic job at Aberdeen and got the Manchester United job. So it could become worse than it is now before it gets better.
Oh, yeah. The guys who are in charge now, I mean, of appointing managers, have to realise that they have to get a strong manager in. I think what happened to Manchester United, from what I can gather at the time, that Matt Busby never really left Damon.
No, he didn't.
When he retired.
That's right.
And he was too influential, Wilf McGuinness and people coming in. And I think it was only when Ferguson came in that I think he insisted that he would do the job the way he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So it's a different situation now in terms of the Manchester United situation. I think that whoever is appointing the manager has to learn, Eamon, that they've got to give the manager the right conditions to do the job, or else they'll do what Spurs did, like under Levy, who never gave the manager the what he needed to do. And it's failed and failed and failed for him since Pochettino left particularly. And I think if Manchester United don't realise what they have to do, they'll keep having this failure and then decide it's got so bad, they'll have to allow the manager to do it. But hopefully they get a bit of sense, Eamon, and get a strong manager in and allow the manager to manage and get the players in they want.
Yeah, I'll just tell you both a story and our listeners, of course, more importantly even than you guys. I went to interview Frank O'Farrell when I wrote the book about Busby. I went to interview Frank O'Farrell in Torquay, and he's a wonderful man, strong man, and a good man, and was a successful manager at Leicester, which got him the job at Manchester United. So on his first day, he turned up, Liam, and he went through all the things, met everybody, and he said to the chairman, he said, "Where's the manager's office?" And he said, "It's over there," he said, "but Matt's staying in there." And Frank said, "He's not. If I don't get that manager's office and you move him out, deal's off." And he got the office in the end. John, that's a very interesting and typical story, isn't it?
Yeah, that was, well, I'd heard about that early on, particularly with McGuinness. I mean, Wilf was the first from Sir Matt.
Yeah.
And Wilf finished up having a nervous breakdown.
He did, I know. In
the situation, you know?
Yep. Anyway, it's a tough gig, and just a last word on it. They interviewed Jurgen Klopp in 2014 when he was thinking of leaving Dortmund. His contract was running down. And they said to Klopp, it was one of the Glazers' representatives who was talking and trying to get him to come. And Klopp said, "Well, what's the club like?" And he said, "Well, it's like a Disneyland for adults." So Klopp decided at that point that he didn't want to go to Disneyland. Now, we'll move on. And Liam, yesterday, Antonio Conte, someone you know, and someone with a great record, got his first win with Spurs against Leeds. They were lucky to win, and he's a big job to do.
He certainly has, Eamon. Not everything is right there with Spurs at the moment. Harry Kane is struggling. He looks sluggish. I know he scored a lot of goals for England during the week, but he won't count them in the course of the season. I think he's really, really struggling this season, and he's such an influential player for them.
Yep.
Unless he gets him back to what he was, to his best, I don't think Spurs will score that many goals. They were totally outplayed the first half. Leeds, in that typical, Cavalier fashion, were one up at halftime. They could have been more up.
Yes.
They were really taking the game to Spurs. But, obviously the work went on in the dressing room at halftime, and Spurs were a different proposition when they came out. They were closing the ball down. They were competing a lot better. They got a couple of lucky breaks, lucky break for the winning goal, certainly, when it came off the wall and hit the post. And the fullback knocked it in. So it was a bit of a lucky win, but you could see Conte had done his work at halftime, because Spurs were a different outfit when they came out for the second half.
John, you were looking at it. We were talking during the match. You were looking at it through Leeds' eyes, and they really were terrific in the first half, given the number of injuries they had and the number of raw young players they had to play.
Oh, they were very good, Eamon. It's Bielsa's way, Eamon. You know, no matter where he is, where he's playing, whether it be Spurs or Manchester, I mean, they're going to do things the way they want to do it.
Yeah.
And they were very good in the first half. Couldn't maintain it, Eamon, in the second half. But it did show, again, a manager like Conte changing the team, getting the spirit going and all the various things that good managers do. And that's what got them back into the game. It was more the spirit and the will to get at Leeds better than they did in the first half. But, you know, Leeds can take some good things out of the game, Eamon. I think, you know, when they play other, I think they'll be okay as far as staying in the Premiership is concerned.
Right.
But they were very good in the first half, but just didn't have enough good players to maintain it, Eamon. And also with the spirit of Spurs in the second half, won the game for them.
And you said to me yesterday, not for the first time, imagine if Bielsa was at Manchester United with that calibre of player, what he might do.
Yeah, and I wouldn't change my mind on that, Eamon, either, because if he can do what he's done over the last couple of seasons with the players that Leeds have, and I don't mean any disrespect to them, with the quality of players at Old Trafford, and he had the same principles and the same way of playing, I think he'd be brilliant for them.
Right, but he wouldn't take any jip from the board.
No.
I don't think he takes jip from anybody, does he?
No, he gets on with the job, and that's why he's proved to be successful. It's just the way they play in relation with the players he has, in relation to the players that Manchester United... I mean, any manager can only make the best of the players they have at their disposal, Eamon, as we know. And that's only my theory, that if he had the players that Manchester United have doing what he's done with the Leeds, I think they'd be sensational.
Well, Pep Guardiola is on the record as saying he's the best coach in the world, and his record in Argentina is stunning. And he's highly regarded by people in the game. And we'll see how he does with Leeds. I don't think he'll get the United job, but Liam, Arsenal at Anfield on Saturday... I thought they played well for half an hour, but I actually think, and it's not what I think that matters, it's what you guys think, but the row between Arteta and Klopp, I think, ignited the match. Because before that, Arsenal were doing fine and Liverpool weren't playing with the usual intensity.
Well, I wasn't there, Eamon, but people who say that who were at the match say that the atmosphere changed completely after the spat on that.
Yeah,
I thought Arteta went way over the top. And probably Klopp reacted, and he was over the top. But it wasn't a real bad foul by Mane. He raised his arm just to try and get some more height when he was jumping for a ball, and I thought Arteta was over the top. however, you know. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago when the international break came up, and I said, I can't believe that Arsenal are only 2 points behind Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because there's such a gulf of class between the players and the team and the way the team plays, that for Arsenal to be 2 points behind was incredible to me. And that gulf in class showed absolutely on Saturday evening. They contained Liverpool quite well, but I thought it was only a matter of time. The goalkeeper, Ramsdale, had kept us from going one or two down earlier on in the game with some really, really good saves. And it was a good free kick from Alexander Arnold. And once Mane knocked that in, came out for the second half. They absolutely... Arsenal, I know John says players shouldn't be intimidated by atmospheres and grounds and things like that, but I thought the young players at Arsenal, and even the senior players at Arsenal, just couldn't handle Liverpool's onslaught and the atmosphere that was in the ground. They totally capitulated and did some really, really stupid things.
Yeah, I just want to ask you a question, Liam, from one of our listeners who mailed me, and he is an Arsenal fan, and he sounded pretty desperate. And he said, is there any hope with their midfield in particular, with these new young players? Saka, of course.
Saka and Smith-Rowe have been the successes of the season. They've played well, but it's the amount of money we spent. Like Partey, I don't know
Well, that's the other question he asked.
$50 million from Atletico Madrid, but I don't really see him in the game, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't, he doesn't seem any personality or any,
yeah.
You know, I don't see what he does. He costs $50 million. So, Odegaard, who came on, he cost $33 million from Real Madrid.
And yeah.
I just don't know where we're going with these signings.
Right.
I think the only way Arsenal are going to get anywhere close to the top four is they've got to be better in the transfer market, because they haven't got the amount of money that yeah. Abramovich has, or Man City has, or Man United has. And they've got to spend the money much more wisely. I'm not impressed with the signings we've made at all. Even Ben White from Brighton,
yeah.
$50 million. I think that's way over the odds, you know.
And right.
I haven't seen that much improvement from last season, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and they're fifth in the table. In fact, if they'd beaten Liverpool on Saturday, they would have gone above Liverpool in the league. But that's
But I've seen them play. I mean, I've seen the wins they've had against
yes.
the likes of Crystal Palace, or they got a draw against Crystal Palace, but against the likes of Watford, and
yeah.
they haven't been that impressive, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Okay. John, let's talk about Liverpool for a moment. I thought they struggled with their midfield. I don't like Thiago. Fabinho is not playing as well as he played last season. And Oxlade-Chamberlain just isn't the player you'd expect to see in the championship-winning side. And I don't mean to be insulting to him in any way at all. But that after that fight between the two coaches, the game sparked into life, didn't it?
Well, it did. I'm not so sure about that, Eamon, to be honest, because what happens on the field happens on the field. I mean, why would Arsenal... Arsenal just weren't good enough, Eamon.
Right.
You know, as Liam said, they weren't good enough. They were like men and boys actually in the match. They weren't in it. I can't see how, to be honest, how a spat between the two managers.
Well, it did happen. I'll tell you what happened.
Well, not be coincidence.
It got the crowd going.
It happened that they started to play well, and it was only a matter of time from the start that Arsenal were really poor. I mean,
yeah.
Liverpool were a different class team.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's a coincidence that happened. I'd
right.
find that amazing that as a player, if you go back when you were a player, Liam was a player, and there was a spat between the two managers, it's going to inspire you.
Okay.
You know, I think what happened, John, is they got a goal straight away after that, and that changed the whole game, you know.
Yeah, would that be not coincidence that they didn't score after that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I won't be running any more theories past you today, John.
I just disagree with that, Eamon.
Okay. Well, here's the theory that you might agree with. Chelsea, very impressive 3-0 win at Leicester. They were short of a few players. But these young guys that have been at Chelsea, and I'd like to ask Liam the same question, really. There's been a whole raft of young players at Chelsea for quite some time now. Pulisic is one of them. Hudson-Odoi is another one. And Loftus-Cheek is another one. And they were always
the fullback game, and the fullback is the best.
Oh, yeah, he is. The right back.
James.
Yeah, Reece James. All those players, John, he's getting a tune out of in the absence of one or two more experienced players. They're players that were always talked about, but they never delivered. They're beginning to deliver. You rate this coach and this team now, don't you?
Oh yeah, I think he's very, very good. But you'd have to give Frank Lampard a lot of credit for it as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he was badly treated.
He introduced him. He was doing a good job with them. I know Tuchel came in and did an even better job. But, you know, he was on his way, Frank Lampard. I feel a bit sorry for him in the situation. I think, obviously, the owner did the right thing to get this fella in. But these young players are matured now. And they're very, very impressive.
Right.
Very impressive. I mean, you know, Leicester in a walkover. And Leicester were having a go. But they totally outclassed him.
Yeah.
They were very, very good and very, very impressive display from Chelsea at the weekend. No doubt about that.
Okay, John, just the final point about Chelsea. They have experienced players to come back. They're keeping a lot of clean sheets. And I think they've only conceded 4 goals in 12 games. And you played in championship-winning teams, and Liam has, of course, at Juventus. Clean sheets are gold, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, clean sheets are gold, Damon, and the others are near gold when you're scoring as many as they're doing.
You yes.
The perfect balance. Now, he's done a big job with them, Eamon, and
yeah.
They're real, real contenders. You know, obviously, you've got City and we've got Liverpool and people in there. But, yeah, they're real contenders.
I should mention City, John. You saw them.
Yeah.
I didn't see the match. You were hugely impressed. But although Everton are weakened by the absence of a number of players, especially the striker.
Calvin-Lewin.
Yeah.
But they've had a few off, Eamon, all right. And they've been weakened. There's no doubt Everton have. But City were impressive, just the same. You can only play as well as you can play against the opposition. And they took full advantage of the weakness in Everton. They totally outplayed them, Eamon. The 2-0 or 3-0, it could have been more than that. It was an impressive performance on the day.
Okay, John and Liam, very grateful to both of you for your thoughts on the weekend's events, which were dramatic in the case of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's gone away with 7 or 7.5 million, but when he wakes up this morning, he's nowhere to go. It changes your life. You don't have a job and you have a family. It is tough, but he managed to handle it with some dignity. And we didn't mention Paul Pogba, who will probably be the biggest headache in the Glazers' family for the rest of the season. How are they going to let him walk out for nothing when they paid almost 100 million euros? We'll see that develop. That's all we have time for now. We're very grateful to John, of course, and to Liam, and to all of you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.